This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So if you're just joining us, because that happens sometimes, if you're just joining us, there are people who like to come, and just as the gospel is being read, yes, they're usually sitting in the back. Today I decided I was going to try something that happens to me every Sunday as we are together, and that are these sort of running narration and commentary on what's happening in the service and the readings that we're listening to and the prayers that we are saying. And the interesting thing is I go through the readings early in the week, right, to prepare for a sermon. But it never fails that when I sit here on a Sunday morning and I hear them read aloud, that something else pops into my head, or that I'm drawn to something else, or there's something that I missed that might actually support the sermon. So even as I make my way from up here to the pulpit, sometimes I'm thinking of new things that could be said and might be helpful. Because that's the goal of what we do here today. What is helpful? What's going to lift you up and take you through the next week, right? We come to worship because God says we want you to worship, just as in our psalm, you are the governor, you are worshiped by all. Our simple act of getting up and getting dressed today and showing up here, driving over, most of us, parking, getting out in the hot humidity, and showing up is an act of worship. To take the time to send to God those feelings, we understand, God, that no matter what happened last week, you are with us. And no matter what is happening in the week ahead, you are with us. And God, we thank you. I love this gradual hymn that we sang, I want to walk as a child of the light. It's so simple, the melody, but the words. It's a longing. This is what we desire. And the hard part of being a follower of Jesus is I don't always get it right. And I have to be reminded that in Jesus there is no darkness. And that if I'm to be a follower of Jesus and invite other people into that relationship, I am called to be light. I want to see the brightness of God. It's a longing. Sometimes the world is dark and scary, and Lord, don't even look at the news. We long for this brightness of God. This is a song that we're singing. Please, God, we long for your brightness. We long for the coming of Christ. I tell people all the time, Jesus can't come soon enough. We're all just waiting here for Jesus to take us all away. But you know what God says? Nope, you've got work to do. Jesus says you have work to do. We all want to be with Jesus, and that's one of the wonderful things about this gift we understand as the Holy Spirit, is Jesus says, you will never be alone. Jesus says to his disciples in this gospel reading today, he says, I have so many things that I need to tell you. Now, if you'll remember, Jesus was in his ministry for just around 3 years. Now, I don't know about you all, but I've been trying to walk this journey. I don't know if you can count adolescence as walking in a journey of Jesus. For some people, yes. But mine really started in young adulthood. I've been walking this journey for decades, and I still don't know what I need to know. But Jesus says, don't worry about it. I can't tell you everything now, but you will learn. And honestly, it's so funny how he says, honestly, disciples, if I told you everything now, you wouldn't be able to understand it. But when the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit will guide you. Because the Spirit does not speak on its own. The Spirit speaks whatever it hears. The Spirit will tell you the things that are to come. And that Spirit will glorify me. Several weeks ago, I gave a sermon, and I was talking about how do we discern what is the voice of God, what is the voice of my own ego, what is the voice of the world around me. Jesus says that Spirit, the one that we are to follow, will glorify Jesus. Well, that's easy enough to translate. Anything that doesn't glorify Jesus is not of the Holy Spirit. So even when my own ego says, well, oh, Christy, you need to do this or you need to do that or someone did you wrong and you need to get back, you know, revenge is fun. And you need to do this and you need to do that or you didn't do that right. Is that glorifying Jesus? That's how I know. Because the voice of Jesus says, you are a child of God. And in you, I am well pleased. The voice of Jesus, the voice of the Spirit, is always to glorify God. And when we have that internal dialogue that wants to push us down and make us feel less worthy, that is not glorifying God. God created all of us. We heard about it in the beginning. In Proverbs, the Spirit is imbued in everything that God has created. We read about how all of the earth and all of creation worships God. And when we do, that voice that says, you're not good enough, is not of God. And Jesus says, all that the Father has is mine. In other words, all of you are mine too. If you are a child of God, Jesus says, and you are mine. And Jesus says, and I will take what is mine. So we have this Father, this Son, and this Holy Spirit that we come together to worship today. And I don't know about you, but I sure would like to know Jesus as a person. We don't get to do that. But Jesus says, don't worry. I am sending you the Spirit. And while the Spirit isn't always tangible, many people might have spiritual experiences. Some people will not in their journey, but the Spirit is always there. And what the Spirit sounds like is love and compassion. That's the truth that Jesus wants us to know. And so as we think about what our role is as disciples, A, he says, you're not going to know everything. You're going to keep learning. The journey never ends. Which is kind of hard because don't we like to think we have achieved it on some level? And there are spiritual people out there. There are other religions that sort of have a hierarchy of spiritual development. And we may meet other Christians that seem wise in the ways of Proverbs. But Jesus says, you're not going to get it all. So that's one way we can know that it's not Jesus. When someone says, well, I understand all the things, I have all the wisdom, Jesus says, no, you don't, only I do. But Jesus says, you will be guided. You will be guided into the truth. And whatever you hear that is truth is not from the world. It's from God. Last week we talked about the Nicene Creed and how this creedal statement sort of solidifies and signifies this unity of the Christian faith. Basic first order things of belief. And as we go through it today, and baby, let's do that. Let's go ahead and jump into the Nicene Creed. We stand, just as you would stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. We stand for the creed and allegiance to this understanding. Now, the interesting thing is it's complicated, and people worked for many years to create this statement, and it has been the same one that has been used by the Christian faith for 1,700 years. But what does that mean is that we use the Spirit to understand it, but even then we may not always understand what it means. But we start with, we believe in one God. Now this phrase, the Father, the Almighty, we've heard it again and again already today. We praise you, Almighty, our opening hymn. This idea of Almighty. Nothing else can overcome the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. God, the maker of heaven and earth, of everything that we can see and everything that we cannot. The wisdom in Proverbs of everything that we can see and everything that we cannot. Then we proclaim together, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ. One Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. That's important in our faith tradition. Again, it lines up with the Holy Trinity, but it also means there is one Son, which means there is no other prophet like Jesus that is coming. That Jesus was it. Jesus was the first. Jesus was the last. Eternally begotten of the Father. That means there with God, begotten from God, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Begotten, not made. That's an important distinction there, because begotten means he was there in the beginning. God didn't create Jesus. The Word was there in the beginning. The Word was there. The Spirit was there from the very beginning. From the Father, the Word came out. And they are one. And through him, all things were made. Now, if we go back to this, where we're talking about Jesus Christ, through him, through Jesus, everything is made. So if we understand the beginning as this imbued spirit that God has put in all of creation, everything seen and unseen, then we understand that also if Jesus were there in creation, everything seen and unseen is imbued with Jesus Christ. Now, my friends, when I think about this, and this is where my mind goes sometimes, when I think about this, I'm like, if everything is imbued with Jesus Christ, are we not called to take care of it? If all of creation, seen and unseen, is imbued with Jesus Christ, are we not then responsible to revere it? For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. That's Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. God became a human being. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, who was the governor at the time. It says for our sake, partly because we are responsible for Jesus' crucifixion, but for our sake, he was crucified, this horrible death, under the leadership of Pontius Pilate, under earthly leadership. He suffered, and then he was buried. And then on the third day, we understand as the resurrection, he rose again. And we know this because it is written in the scriptures. And he ascended into heaven. The day of ascension comes up in our calendar soon. Right now, Jesus is still, he's going to come back and revisit with his disciples and get them ready. And he says, there's so much I can't tell you, but the Spirit will come. But then he's going to go be with God. And this imagery of right hand of the Father and left hand, that is a very prominent imagery in the Hebrew scriptures of leadership and royalty. And then it says he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And when that happens, God's kingdom will have no end. That's our hope, my friends. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. The Holy Spirit comes from the Father and the Son. And when we worship the Father and the Son, when we worship God and Jesus, we are worshiping with the Holy Spirit. Through that worship, all are glorified. And the Holy Spirit speaks through the prophets, both Old Testament prophets and new. But remember, Jesus is the only Son of God. While there will be people that can speak strong words and are inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak the truth of the gospel, Jesus Christ is the only last major prophet. But the Holy Spirit was speaking long before Jesus came. We believe in one holy Catholic, and that doesn't mean Roman Catholic. That means unified church around the world, and apostolic church, meaning that we can trace the lineage of the beginning of the church directly back to the apostles. We believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, and we know there is a life to come. Amen.